Hello, Cedar Creek. Happy Labor Day weekend. I hope you are able to take a little bit of time to enjoy some fun with friends and family. And if you've been joining us over the past few weeks, I'm really excited about what God has in store for all of us this weekend. We have been exploring the challenge, the paradox of the great commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which we're like, okay, I get that. But then to love our neighbor as ourselves, our neighbor, the stranger, our actual neighbor, and as Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, even our neighbor, the enemy. As we were preparing for the series, and I was thinking about this weekend in particular, I invited a friend of Cedar Creek to speak on the main stage for a whole message for the very first time, because I believe God has given her a message that I can't wait to see what God's Spirit is going to do through her in all of us. And so you've seen her husband before. Pastor Calvin Sweeney has preached. You've seen her at the preach-off, but this weekend, we get the privilege of hearing from Pastor Christine Sweeney. And so at all of our locations, would you please give her a warm Cedar Creek welcome?
Well, hello to you too, Cedar Creek. You know how I make a girl feel at home. It is so great to be back up here on this stage. I haven't been here for quite some time. I think the last time I was here was with Pastor Ben to defeat Andy Rechtenwald and Mark Snyder. It was amazing and enjoyable. And I just want to say this morning to Andy, I'm back. No, I was really excited, however, when Pastor Ben invited me to be a part of this amazing series and to talk specifically about the topic that I'm going to talk about this morning, because it's one that's near and dear to my heart. It's one that I've lived out personally. You know, Pastor Ben left the hardest message of this series for me. You guys can email him about that later. But what we're going to be talking about this morning is not how to love your actual neighbor, even those annoying ones that cut their grass in the middle of the night. Not even how to love the stranger, you know, those people that are different from us, that look different from us, think different from us, have different values. We're not going to talk about that today. Today we're going to talk about something really difficult. We're going to talk about how to love your enemy. Right? You guys are supposed to go, ooh. You know, I love Jesus because he teaches us so much how to deal with these different things. And before I get into that, I just want to pause and say that when Pastor Ben invited me to do this talk and he told me the title of the message, For the Love, I was a little bit confused because I've never, ever, ever in my life said, For the Love. In fact, I don't know anyone that's ever said that before. I kept thinking, like, is there, like, a cultural difference? Like, are all of my Caucasian brothers and sisters over there going, For the Love? And then I thought, well, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's an age thing. You know, after all, I am a little bit older than Pastor Ben. You know, a couple of months. And then I said, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Different people say different things when they're frustrated. You know, some of the things that I say when I get frustrated or really upset about something is like, this is getting on my last nerve. Do I got any last nerve people out there? Oh, yeah. We're not sure what happened to all the rest of our nerves, but when you're on the last one, when you're on the last one, it's something big that's happening. Another thing that I say when I get frustrated with someone or something is I'll say, I've had it up to here. Now, mind you, I'm only 5'2", so it doesn't take a whole lot to get up to here. But nevertheless, when I get really frustrated, I've had it up to my 5'2" height. And the last one of my favorite ones that I say, perhaps my kids have heard it from time to time, is I am so sick and tired. Anybody out there sick and tired? Okay, you probably should go home, but don't leave yet. So we all say different things when we feel frustration, when we feel tension, when there's things that are asked of us that we kind of feel like are unreasonable. And so I love this whole idea about for the love and talking about the frustration and the tension that we feel when we move beyond just loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to talking about loving people, to loving our neighbor, to loving our actual neighbor, to loving the stranger, to what we're talking about today, loving our enemy. Jesus does a great job teaching about this concept of loving our enemy in Matthew chapter 5, and what's one of his most memorable and famous sermons called the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus helps us understand that he's coming to bring the kingdom of God, and all of us that belong to him, that he belongs to, are citizens of the kingdom of God, and that we do things differently than the kingdom of this world. What I love also about Jesus is that he's a master teacher, so he doesn't just get into the tough content right away. He kind of eases us in. And so he starts Matthew chapter 5 by saying, blessed are you when you do this, and blessed are you when you do that, and happy you will be if you do these things. And all of a sudden, we're all leaned in like, this is the best chapter of the Bible ever. And then he goes on and he starts to compliment us, and he says things like, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And we're like, yes, Jesus, preach. You're talking directly to me. And then he switches it up. And he says, I know you think you understand the law of Moses. You've heard it taught for a really long time, but I'm here to tell you, you don't really understand it. In fact, based on your misunderstanding, you've been doing some misbehavior. I want to help you understand it more fully. He said, I know you've heard it said, you shall not commit murder. But what you really didn't understand is that it's not just physical murder against another person that I'm talking about. It's those murderous thoughts. Has anyone in here ever, like, disliked someone enough that you think, wow, I just wish a tartar bus would hit them tomorrow? Oh, only me? Sorry. Then he goes on and he says, some of you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. And he says, I need to further explain that you're not just responsible for the physical acts that you do with someone other than your husband or your wife. But when you think about someone, when you look at someone, that's not your husband or your wife, you've committed adultery. And I feel like the congregation, the crowd, they're kind of sat back like, this is not what I was expecting from how this message started. And then Jesus tightens it up a little bit more, and he says, when you swear to God, when you make oaths before God, you shouldn't do that lightly. You should do it with intentionality. Because if you're not going to do it, you shouldn't say it. And then everybody's just starting to get a little more uncomfortable. And then at the very end of the chapter, Jesus tightens it up a little bit more. And that's where we're going to pick up. In Matthew 5, verse 43, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And everybody's like, yeah, I have heard that. I do that well. I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I love my neighbor, even the annoying ones. And absolutely, I hate those other people. You know, the other people. People that don't believe like I believe. That don't look like I look. That don't live in my community, on my block, those people, those other people, it's okay to hate them. And Jesus said, I know you heard that. I know you're okay with that, but I need to explain. That's a misunderstanding. That's a misteaching. He goes on to say, but I say to you, love your enemies. And I just imagine that some of them started gathering their purses and their bags, and they're like, because as I've been teaching the Bible over these last few years, I've discovered that there are two areas that cause us difficulty when studying the Word of God. First, can we just be honest and say that sometimes the Word of God is just really hard to understand? Like, there's verses that you read and you're just like, what the what? Like this verse in John chapter 3 where it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth and whereunto shall it go? And you're like, what? Sometimes you're studying the Bible and you're reading it and you're just like, what language were they speaking? Has anybody ever been there? Thank you for not making me be the only one. And then there's another area where we have difficulty. It's where we see passages like this one where it says, love your enemies, and the message is crystal clear. Like, it's perfectly understandable. But it's really hard, right? Like, when I read those three words, all I keep thinking is, this is really hard. But Jesus doesn't just ask us to do things, but he teaches us how. As this verse continues, you'll see that Jesus gives us three ways that we can actually walk this out. The first thing he tells us is to love your enemies, bless those who curse you. I know. Our natural reaction when someone curses at us or uses hateful speech is not to go, oh, bless you. I'm so thankful for you. That is not our natural response. Our natural response is to give back, to retaliate what they've given to us, right? If someone curses me out, I'm going to curse them back out. I'll ask God for forgiveness later. If someone says something hateful to me, I'm going to say something hateful back. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind because they should have kept my name out their mouth. That's our natural reaction. That's where we go. We get upset. We want to retaliate. When they curse us, we want to curse them. That's our natural response. And Jesus says that's natural, but that's not what people that belong to the kingdom do. He says when they curse you, when they say hateful things to you, hurtful things to you, don't retaliate in kind. Instead, bless them. And you're like, that sounds great. But what does that look like in real life? Here's a perfect example for you. When you leave here today and you're on the road back to your home or to the restaurant where you're choosing to spend time eating with your family, there's going to be that one person that's going to cut you off in traffic, and then they're going to wave to you with one finger. Jesus wants you to wave back with all your fingers, all five of them. And he wants you to pray for them. And not prayer like what David does sometimes in the Psalms. You know what I'm talking about. David will be like, God, rain down vengeance on those that oppress us. And you read it and you're like, yes. Not those kind of prayers. I know. The type of prayer where you say, God, let them make it home safely. Because I don't think they know you. And they need another chance. I don't know about you, but I'm glad somebody prayed for me until I had enough sense to respond to the drawing of Jesus. So even though they made me mad, and even though they cursed me out with their one finger wave, I'm not going to curse back at him. And I'm not going to drive up on the side of him and give him the eyeball like, I see you. We're going to pray they make it home safely so that they can have another chance to learn who Jesus Christ is and accept him as their Lord and Savior. I'm going to love my neighbor. And newsflash, your enemies are your neighbor too. Jesus doesn't just stop there, but he goes on to say, do good to those who hate you. Now, some of you are like, hold on, Jesus. You just told me to bless people that are cursing me out. Now you're talking about do good to people that hate me. Again, this is countercultural. This is counter what I want to do. Because when someone hates me, when someone does hateful things to me, I just want a little bit of distance. Like, I just want to be away from all of that negativity. I want to be away from all that hurtful action. I want to be away from those type of people. I want distance between them and me. I don't want to be anywhere around them. That's our natural reaction. You hate me? Good. I'm good. You go your way, I'll go my way. But Jesus says we're not supposed to create distance. In fact, he tells us we're supposed to get closer. We're supposed to get close enough that we can see what the needs are and then do something to meet the need. He wants us to get close enough to that coworker of ours who's always talking behind our back, who's always trying to sabotage us, that person that's always so hateful to you and you can never figure out, like, why do they hate me? I didn't even do anything. He wants you to get close enough to find out why they're hurting. Because hurting people hurt people. And maybe the reason they're doing all the hateful stuff that they're doing to you is because they're hurting. And they don't know how to take those emotions and those feelings and do something with them. And so they direct all of their anger and all of their hurt to you. And just maybe if you love your enemy the way that Jesus tells you to, maybe if you do good to them, they might let their walls come down. And you might see that heart of stone become a heart of clay, ready to receive the Father. He doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And you're like, you want me to pray for them when they use me, when they persecute me? And Jesus is like, yes. I don't know about you, but when people have used me in the past and have persecuted me, I find myself gathering bricks and building a wall around myself. And I say things to myself like, I will never hurt like that again. I will never experience that again. Gotta make the wall higher. Gotta protect myself. Gotta keep those type of people out. Jesus says, not so in the kingdom. He says, let my word destroy every stronghold, every wall that you're building. And instead of building a wall to keep them away, pray and build a bridge. I will take you closer. I know what I'm talking about isn't easy. This isn't a message that I just read from the Bible and took notes on. This is something that I've lived. I know what it's like to have people curse you, to tell you you'll never be anything, You'll never amount to anything. You'll always be just like. I know how hard it is when people hate you. When I was a kid in grade school, I was in a carpool. My mom would take a certain group of us to the school, and at the end of the day, this other parent would pick us up. And I would hurry to the car, but the other kids that were in the car would race to the car, and whoever lost had to sit next to me. I know what it's like to be hated and not even know the reason why. I know what it's like to have someone use you and persecute you. It's a point in my life where all of my family and friends turn their back on me. And I was invisible for years. We lived in the same city, and the people that I grew up with that were supposed to protect me, that were supposed to have oversight of me, that were supposed to love me, we would be in the same grocery store, walking down the same aisle, and they never spoke. In fact, they turned their faces in the opposite direction. And I found myself utterly and completely alone. I know what it's like. I know how hard this message is. I know it doesn't feel good. In fact, as I was preparing this message, all I kept thinking after I read the words, love your enemies, was, I don't wanna. Anybody with me in the I don't wanna? But what I gotta tell you this morning is that it doesn't feel good what I'm talking about. In fact, it feels horrible what I'm talking about. But Jesus isn't talking about feelings in here. When we're talking about love in these verses, we're not talking about the type of love that we like to think about, you know, the type of love that gives you the butterflies in your stomach and makes your hands sweaty. The type of love that makes you listen to slow jams like Anita Baker. Right, honey? We're not talking about that type of love. The type of love that Jesus is talking about here is an agape love. It's a duty. It's a command. It's what we do. It's the hard thing. It's hard. You know, this isn't the only passage where Jesus talks about how to love our enemy, because he understands we're coming to a fork in the road where we have to make a decision. We got to decide. To love the way that Jesus is talking about loving in these two verses, we got to make a decision to be a victim no longer. We got to make a decision to take our power back and to love our enemy. Because there's a fork in the road, right? I can take my power back. I can make a choice to love my enemies the way Jesus is saying, or I can stay stuck in my pain. I can stay stuck rehearsing over and over the things that were said and the things that were done, or I can make a choice to do something different. In Romans chapter 12, Jesus continues this conversation and he says, never pay back evil with more evil. This is what Jesus inspired Paul to write. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. And all of us are like, but you're taking too long. Right? We got a choice. Here's where Jesus tells us what we can do instead. Instead. In other words, going against everything you want to do, going a different direction than what you've always gone, instead, do this. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. And then he says something so powerful. See, loving our enemies is not just not retaliating. He says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Jesus is saying, if you want to destroy your enemies, it's not going to be by the work of your hand. It's going to be by the love in your heart. The type of love that may never change them, but will always change you. Because when I love my enemy the way that Jesus talks about, when I bless them, when I do good to them, when I pray for them, my heart changes. My perspective changes. I begin to look and behave more like my Father in heaven. In fact, as we go back to Matthew chapter 5, when we love the way that Jesus tells us to love, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, we get to look more like our Father God when we make this hard choice. Jesus goes on to say, you can be normal and only love the people that love you. You can be standard and love the people that are kind to you. Or you can take the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, the power that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and allow him to make an upgrade, to make you able to do what without him is impossible. Love your enemy. Verse 46 and 47 says it this way, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. Jesus said, when we love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor, our actual neighbor, the stranger, our enemies, like he's talking about, that's how people know we belong to him. That's how they know we're different. Jesus, again, is the master teacher. He doesn't just give us an assignment. He doesn't just give us the rubric of things that he's looking for, but he gives us an example. How many of you like an example when you get an assignment? I used to hate those teachers. They're like, just figure it out. I want to be like, you suck. Sorry, that was not godly. Jesus gives us an example. He doesn't ask us to do something that he doesn't do himself. In Romans 5 and verse 7 and 8, it says this, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Jesus made a decision to go to Calvary's cross while we were thinking nothing about him. He wasn't on our radar. He wasn't on our thoughts. Some of us were still shaking our hand at the sky and cursing God for the things that happened in our lives. And Jesus still made the choice to go to Calvary's cross for you and me. Because he knew without his sacrifice, none of us could be reconciled and reconnected to the Father. We were enemies to God. And God gave his very best to us. And when Jesus was hanging up on that cross that day, he wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about all the pain that he was enduring. He wasn't thinking about all the ways that they mocked him. He wasn't thinking about all the people that had betrayed him and walked away. He wasn't thinking about himself. Thinking about you. He was thinking about me. It was our faces that he saw. See, this is the key. Here's the bottom line. When I think less of me, when I spend less time rehearsing all the ways that people have done me wrong, when I think less about why they shouldn't have done what they've done and why they deserve every bad thing that's coming, when I think less about my hurt, my pain, and I start thinking about eternity and what happens to all those people if no one ever loves them the way that Jesus is commanding, it gives me the ability to do the hard thing. Because even though my pain feels like it went on forever, it was just a moment in time. And we're talking about eternity. So I can do the hard thing. I can think less about my pain, and I can think more about their eternity, and I can make a choice to take my power back and to love my enemy. I told you before, this isn't just notes. This is my life. I know what it's like to feel pain so incredible that all you want to do is block out everybody. I know what it's like to want to take the hateful words and throw them back into the face of everyone that said you couldn't, you wouldn't, you shouldn't do anything. I know what it's like when you're hurt not by people that are far away from you, but people that should protect you. But I also know the power of obeying this word. I came to a point in my life when I had to make a decision. Was I going to stay in a cycle of pain? Or was I going to accept what Jesus was offering me and take my power back and choose to love? Got to tell you, it wasn't a magic wand. Never is. Want to tell you, it's an ongoing process. I'm still in it. But I want to tell you this, if you begin the process of loving your enemy, God will begin the process of healing your heart. See, I found my healing not in hate, but in the love of Jesus. And so every single morning I get up to show that love to everybody, including my enemies. And I've watched Jesus do amazing things. Relationships that I thought were destroyed are now being rebuilt. Not all at once, but they're being rebuilt. And restoration is happening. And I can finally talk about my pain to encourage others without melting into a puddle right here on the floor. Because Jesus is healing me. And I want to tell you this morning, he's not a respecter of persons. That means if he's done it for me, he'll do it for you. All you got to do is ask him. I want to challenge you in my last few words up here. For the next 30 days, I want you to pray for someone. That someone that during this talk just kept coming to mind. That someone that you were like, not that one. Not him, not her. Nope, can't do it. You don't understand what they did to me. That person, I can love anybody except whoever fills in that blank for you this morning. I want you to pray for them for the next 30 days. Not those David prayers. Not even the Tartar Bus prayers. Prayers that God would bless them. I know. Some of you are like, I can't even say those words. If you can't say it out loud, just pray it in your heart. Even if you feel like you can't mean those words, pray those words so God makes your heart ready. Because it's not about them. This word from Jesus was always about you. Can I pray for us today? Father God, I love you so much. Thank you so much for your healing in my life, God. Thank you so much for your strength. Thank you so much for giving me the power to do the thing that I thought was impossible. To bless those that have cursed me. To do good to those that hate me. To pray for those that have spitefully used and persecuted me. And God, this morning, with every bit of healing that you've given me, God, I pray the same for my brothers and my sisters. Heal every heartbreak, God. Smooth over every crack and crevice in our hearts. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to love you with all of our hearts, mind, soul, strength, but also to love our neighbor, our actual neighbor, God, those that are different, the other, God, and then our enemy. Let us look at every single person through the eyes of Jesus. Through the eyes of eternity. We thank you, God, for your love, for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.